WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And that was quite an interesting hour. We want to thank again all the candidates who were able to make it in for our very special forum. As Christine James said, that the audio for that, for this particular segment that we did just about a few minutes ago, will be up on the 95.9WATD.com website. We move forward, and joining us right now is a gentleman who I like to call our DC Insider. He is the president of Capital Group. The Capital Group, is that correct?
That's correct.
Mr. Michael Jones, who is a gentleman who we featured, we had him here a couple of weeks ago as an introduction. And today, we bring him in to kind of talk about soup to nuts, talk about some things that are ongoing right now, hot and heavy. I mean, one of them so happens to be that we have an issue in Nigeria in regards to a militant terrorist organization known as Boko Haram, who has kidnapped a bunch of girls and is basically going to sell them into slavery. And I know that Barack Obama's wife, Michelle, is already part of a movement, and that there's several people who are holding protests to hopefully have some kind of intervention. Give me your thoughts on this.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is something that I'm fairly familiar with. I've traveled to that area of the world. I've been to the Congo. I've been to Cote d'Ivoire, Benin, Togo, the capitals of Kinshasa and Brazzaville. I sort of have a good feeling for that region, but a very unsettling feeling about what's happening here, in particular on the global stage with this kidnapping. As you know, this group is not. This group has done similar horrific acts in the past when they murdered 40 schoolboys when they took over a school previously. Now they've stolen, estimates are anywhere from 270 to over 300 of the most innocent people in our society, the most in the planet, the most vulnerable folks in the world, taking them for school for the crime, as their name suggests, of wanting to read and learn and progress.
Be educated.
That's why they were taking. And these brutal animals, these brutal animals, have stolen these precious children. And I think right now the world is watching. How will this come to an end? How will this come to a head? If this is played the wrong way, it will send the signal that terrorists can do these things. And it was way too long before the international community paid attention to this. It was way too long until this was on CNN. It was way too long. If this had happened in a European country, I suggest that this would have received much more attention, and there would be international forces right across the border ready to move in right now.
Of course, I want to make sure I pay attention to my co-host who's joining me, Joe Rossi. Joe, I'm sure you want to weigh in on this as well, my friend.
Well, first I want to say it's good to be back, Kevin.
Good to have you back, my friend.
It's good to see you.
Give me your thoughts on this this particular issue that we're talking about right now.
Sure, it's you know, it is disturbing. I couldn't agree more with the sentiments of, you know, basically where it's happening and the amount of attention it's getting versus, you know, if it was to happen in our own backyard and that how much attention we'd be getting here per se. You know, one of the things that the terrorists are demanding are a release of militants of their own, I believe, that are in capture right now. What do you believe? I mean, I've heard that it's either it's their way or the highway. Basically, there is no negotiating with these guys. And do they have a reputation of basically holding that type of line in terms of negotiations?
There's only one other case of precedent here with this particular group and the hostages, and where they've taken Europeans hostage. That was strictly over money. They wanted money for those hostages. It was a very different situation with that situation, which took place in the Nigerian Delta. In this particular situation, all of the rhetoric emanating from this group's leadership is that their mission is to create an Eden on Earth in God's image. and they will stop at nothing to do so. And in this particular case, I can imagine no God that would endorse what these horrible human beings are doing to these girls as we speak. And I fear that us, as a Western power, has dropped the ball on this situation. I feel from intelligence that I got to today from some folks out of the United Kingdom that it's likely MI6 is going in within the next day or so with their special forces backed by the French. So at least somebody's taking a leadership role and recognizing that we cannot, as a world, as humanity, sit by and allow the theft of 300 precious innocent children.
Well, I guess this kind of leads to the next question, which is how disturbing is it on, there's a whole other level to this, is how disturbing is it they were able to do this without having the attention being brought to them at the time they kidnapped these girls? I mean, I can't imagine it was easy to get 300 schoolgirls and, you know, maybe over there it is. I mean, obviously, you know the region better than any of us.
To my knowledge, they have, in many cases, sold some of these young girls for as little as $12. Many of the people who abducted them have married them. And the way this group operates, they take no prisoners. Not one leader in that group, Boko Haram, and they've said this, is willing to go to prison. They will not be captured. Mm. They will do the most desperate and destitute things to these children before they're allowed to be taken. So we need to make a decision as an international community. Do we go in strong? Do we go in unified? And do we say to the rest of the world that there are some things that are so terrible and horrible and genocide that we are no longer allowed to sit by as human beings and allow fellow men to do this to other human beings? And I say this predicated on the fact that they did gun down every one of the 40 young schoolboys that they took hostage previously. And the likelihood of these young girls coming back without strict, brutal, swift, an overwhelming force is probably very low.
What do we know about the organization beyond the girls that were captured? You alluded earlier there's only one other precedent of them taking hostages, but in terms of I've heard that they're Al-Qaeda affiliated. I've heard, you know, several other things. How large of a group? Where do you think they have some type of compound that they have these girls at? I mean, what's your feeling on that?
The latest that I heard today in D.C. From some folks on the Homeland Security Committee was that they do know where they are, roughly.
Okay.
They're in the bush. They're in a specific area. They know where they are. There's a very porous border there with Rwanda, and there is no checks at those borders. So they're fairly free to move across that border. However, as I said before, the strategy that they have in this particular endeavor is to avoid capture, and if they are to be captured, they're not going to allow themselves to be captured alive, and anybody around them is fair game.
What are you hearing as far as are there any other countries that are looking to move? Is the UN looking to get involved with this?
As I said before, unilaterally, I believe that MI6, which is British Special Forces, is en route at the moment.
But is this strictly just Britain, England's the only one right now?
England backed by the French.
Okay.
And I think that there's going to be a swift strike. Mark my words, this has not been in the paper, but sure. From what I heard, it will not be U.S.-led and it will not be U.S.-supported. We've only sent a few negotiating experts over there. We've done nothing. We haven't even lent them a drone.
Do you think because of what's happened in Benghazi, look what happened. I mean, Egypt is, you know, right now we're watching as to what's going on there. I believe they're getting ready to have elections, and
yes.
Folks have, you know, kind of, they're watching with a tense eye. They're afraid. Do you feel that maybe the United States, maybe the Obama administration might have warned from its mistakes in Benghazi, and that's why they're not really jumping into this? Or
I'll preface what I'm saying with that. My positions don't necessarily reflect that of management at WATD. I think that we've seen, and as you know, I represent the Middle East Council of American Chambers of Commerce. So that's 950 American firms operating on the Arabian Peninsula. I do their lobbying strategy and legislative work on Capitol Hill. So I've been very familiar with the Middle East and the MENA, Middle East North Africa region, professionally for quite some time. I see a complete withdrawal from the Arabian Peninsula in our support for our key allies there. And I see leaders there doing things which I never would have suspected, such as giving the king of Saudi Arabia, giving Yasser Arafat's former terrorist organization $3 billion to create basically a buffer state. And the Iranians moving in on places like Bahrain, where they're shooting children in the streets, the minority ruling king. And it's only a matter of time before there's going to be an eruption there. The reason that the U.S. has been so treaded so lightly, I believe, in the case of that part of the world, is that the biggest air base we have in the region is in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, and the biggest naval base we have in the region is in Bahrain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are doing things for our self-interests, for oil, for treasure, and for territory. But we're not doing things in this case for 300 innocent souls who have done nothing wrong other than to want to read. And the message we are sending the world with this type of behavior, the fact that we were not right in there in Benghazi, the fact that we have not pursued these people to the ends of the planet and hunted them down for their heads, is sending a message to the world that we are weaker, we will allow this to happen, and the more this happens, the more it's going to perpetuate itself, because these desperate animals will do horrible things if we do not exterminate them. And I've always thought this since the beginning of the war on terror. When they brought the battle to the Twin Towers and the Twin Towers tumbled to earth, and when they brought the battle to the Pentagon and used a missile filled with Americans flown into the side of the very strength of American military might, and when those brave Americans crashed a plane into a field in Pennsylvania so it would not be taken out, taken use to take out our capital, we entered an entire new world at that point. We must take the fight to where terror starts, where it begins, where it is nurtured, and we must squish it out there, or you can bet it will come to us.
Well, you have right now. I mean, I believe that we're pulling back our forces out of Afghanistan at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
is there no plan?
Is there any really? Are we really still fighting the war on terrorism? Do we still have a front that we're fighting?
I don't see any strategic compilation of tactics that is aggressively pursuing the war on terror. These criminals, if they are captured, ought to be down in Cuba. In that installation.
I think they're closing that too,
aren't they?
Aren't they closing that?
There's some back and forth. I think, you know, the jump to conclusion by the Obama administration to try to close Guantanamo is another example of the out of touch that he is with, you know, what really needs to be done from a terror. And this has nothing to do with politics. It's simply and this is what I was going to get back to, is there's several things that fall into line with what's being said, and that is, you know, a failure to act in some way on Benghazi. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, there was a failure in Benghazi of some sort.
And a cover-up. Okay?
And that's something that we will get into in a few minutes here. I think we should talk about it.
When you look at what happened in Russia, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
It's still ongoing in Russia.
Exactly.
Still ongoing.
Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, there's a failure of the U.S. to act in the Ukraine. And then when you look at the Nigerian issue, there's a failure to act, obviously, on this issue. And I think it just simply goes to the fact that the President of the United States does not have the experience needed or is in touch enough with foreign policy. And it's now not so much, you know, Republicans versus Democrats, it's a track record, and unfortunately we're seeing it played out again. And the problem that I think we're going to have is, you know, we have bigger issues that aren't even being brought up, nor will they be brought up tonight, that are foreign policy issues, such as what's going on in the South China Sea right now, and those issues, that if we do not have a foreign policy in place, we are going to be in a very, very, very bad place come another 5 to 10 years.
I absolutely agree. Korea included in that line.
Yes, absolutely.
North Korea included in that.
I mean, line. Even
if you would just kind of elaborate for folks who may not know what you're talking about. Again, just so we let folks know, we are speaking with our fantastic DC insider,
from president of the Capital Group, Michael Jones, who will be a regular feature that we have on and we chat with about issues and stuff like this. But elaborate, if you will, Joseph, what you're talking about as far as in the South China Sea.
Well, there's tensions heating up with everyone will hear about the tensions heating up between China and the Philippines and Thailand. But what they won't be told is that the U.S. is doing joint military strategic practice strikes with Thailand and the Philippines, that China is blaming the U.S. for the intensification of their skirmishes that are happening there. And then when you look at what's happening in North Korea, a great article just came out the other day where China, who was a great ally on North Korea, has come out and said they have no control over North Korea at all. They are completely out of control, and China has no way of reeling in some of the outlandish things that North Korea is saying that they can and will probably end up doing. So what we have, and it's not, and it may seem far away, but it has so many close implications to the U.S., not just because the West Coast and Alaska are close there, but we have places such as Japan, South Korea, the Philippines themselves, all of these economic allies that if something was to happen to them.
Well, but would you really call China an economic ally?
No, I'm saying Japan. Australia.
China, I mean, if anything, I think we're kind of at, we have an ongoing...
China's the next economic superpower.
I think it's
they're not already there.
Well, there's some folks who would say that they are the end game too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Sure. I mean, we could say that about Russia still too now also. And
although
but
Russia
I think
just annexed territory the size of the Carolinas without firing a shot.
Yeah.
But I think if you were to reel it in a second, I think, you know, if you take what's going on over there in the South China Sea and you add that to kind of a developing storyline that's kind of going all across that part of the world, you know, we are starting to live in, once again, unfortunately, an unstable national situation. And we saw this happen right before World War II, unfortunately, the same type of subtle, unrelated, but yet still related international crises happening in their own individual spots. So I think not saying that we're going to be dragged into another world war, but again, you know, we have a situation where we need to have a strong international foreign policy.
This Nigeria situation wouldn't drag us into any major conflict.
True.
This
it's
is a rough
true.
Band of yep. beatniks with terrible weapons, untrained.
Didn't we have a similar situation in Somalia? Didn't we have an issue in Somalia?
We did, but maybe we should have gone in with absolute force and with the full consent of our allies in the international community, and the world would cheer for the rescue of those children.
And
I'll tell you something else, too. I believe fundamentally and inherently that the young men and women that serve in the U.S. Armed Forces are heroes. And if I've ever seen a need for a hero, it's right now.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let's say that the United States becomes part of a joint force to go in and rescue these 300 girls.
Which they won't.
But let's say if they are, some of these girls are rescued, what's not to say that this group doesn't do it all over again?
Well, here's the calculus that I think Washington is worried about. They're worried about sending some of our troops in, or, you know, special forces and all of this, and having a few of them lose their lives. And they're worried about the hostage takers killing a lot of the hostages as they go in to try and liberate them.
Right.
So they're worried about that blood being on their hands rather than do anything heroic or take action. The calculus has been made to have no action, therefore no blame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not leadership.
Sure, because if we go, I mean, you know, you look at all, again, I'm not advocating as a Republican or a Democrat, but if you were to look at, you know, some of the things that President Bush did in his first term, not second term, sure. first term, a lot of them were unpopular things that were done for, at the time, the right reasons, such as, you know, I mean, obviously we had national pride as we went into Afghanistan, but, you know, that was, going to war is always an unpopular thing, and it was done for the right reasons. And he gets blamed up and down, even still, for going into Afghanistan and Iraq. But if you were to take a step back, you know, everyone gets blamed for doing the right thing sometimes.
I go back to also the notion that I said before about what happened on September 11th. We changed from a world that had wars between civilizations and nations to a war between civilization itself and terror. And on September 11th, terrorists slipped through one of the millions of cracks in our national security, and those buildings went down. And we still have cracks in that national security, and that's why we need to snuff these brutal barbarians out where they live and where they propagate and where they train and where they breed until they get here, before they get here.
I guess I have to ask you this, and that is, the final thoughts on this, the whole Nigeria thing, and just so folks know, I guess there is a Twitter hashtag bring back our girls that I guess Michelle Obama had talked about or mentioned during her using the president's weekly radio address to at least ask for the safe return of these girls. Do you think this is just going to be one of many events that we're going to be watching, something like this? I mean,
if we allow this to happen without absolute brutal ramifications for this, this will happen again.
But what's not to say, I mean, we only know about this because of a video that was released. What's not to say that this isn't going on all over the world and we just don't have video to prove it?
It is going on in a great many places. Like I said, we haven't found the barbarians that killed four brave Americans in Benghazi yet, which we should have by now. If you think about it, you can take Google Earth and look at the front of your own house and tell you what number is on your door. How can we not find these people with all of our technology and all of our capabilities? I don't buy it.
What's the latest on Benghazi? I know you wanted to talk about that for a couple of moments.
Yeah.
What's the latest on that right now as far as where things stand on that?
There's a Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's actually a friend of mine from South Carolina, is going to be stepping up efforts to do some of the more of the hearings about Benghazi, and hope we'll get to the bottom of what exactly happened here. I mean, we do know that we had an administration that was willing to not tell the truth after the gig was up after Benghazi and sent people out purposely who had no jurisdiction over that particular issue to talk about it publicly with talking points on all the national talk shows to defer the attention from what really happened, which was inaction by our U.S. armed forces, not because of the forces themselves, but because of the U.S. leadership, to go in and do everything possible to rescue Americans when they're stolen by barbarians.
And this was a major cover-up too, as far as what happened. Am I correct?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of admiration for Hillary Clinton in a lot of areas. However, I can't get the words out of my ears. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Mm. It makes all the difference in the world when sending a message that we will not be messed with.
Yeah, I think people lose sight sometimes, and Benghazi is one of these situations of, you know, what the point of the interrogations and trying to figure out, or the hearings,
the waterboarding.
And trying to figure out what really went on there. And, you know, I think what people lose sight of is it's not so much to really find out exactly what happened in sequence, but it's more to send a message of, we're not going to allow these things to happen going forward. Because if you set a precedent of allowing for a U.S. embassy to be overtaken and not send extra troops in, which wasn't done, regardless of what you think.
Which
regardless of what you think, even, what side you're on, regardless of, anything like that, there were no extra troops sent in, even after the attacks happened.
Yeah.
And if you set a precedent like that. I mean, I don't know if you heard about what happened in, I don't know if it was Nigeria, it was another country, where two of our ambassadors went to get a haircut and a armed vehicle pulled up to the barbershop. Two kidnappers got out to try to take both of them, and the only reason it didn't happen is because people at getting their haircut, the U.S. ambassadors, one happened to be a CIA agent, shot them both dead. But that, again, setting precedents on not messing with U.S. Individuals in other places.
The world is becoming more of a dangerous place by the day.
It is.
But here's the one question I have to ask you, Michael, and that is, how much longer do we continue to be the world police? Can we continue to be the world police?
I'm not saying that we need to be the world police in every scenario. Mm. I'm simply saying that when you steal 300 innocent young human souls, we as humanity have an obligation in this case to overlook all politics to overlook all borders and to go in there and save those children. That's what I would want if my daughter was one of those young girls. That's what every parent would want if their child was in that situation. We have to send the message to the world that certain acts of barbarianism and cowardice and disgusting behaviors from the darkest part of the heart will not be tolerated. And they always say to remember things like Auschwitz. They always say to remember these atrocities, right?
Mm.
Where is our memory?
Right.
Where is our memory?
Yeah, good point. Joe, anything?
We're on Benghazi or just anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're on Benghazi.
Sure,
right now.
Sure, yeah.
We have just a couple of minutes left here with Michael Jones.
No, I think, you know, I think there's some things happening now. There's a panel that's been established.
It's a Republican-led one, right?
Yeah, but actually there are some Democrats, I believe, that are going to be on that panel.
As there should be. This should not be clouded in partisanship whatsoever. Right. I am so tired of the partisanship in Washington getting in the way of right and wrong. Getting in the way of what we should be doing as a people, what we all know we all agree on in our hearts.
Mm.
I am so tired of the messing up, whether it's the country's finances or the deficit or foreign policy, because nobody can seem to talk to each other in that town anymore.
Yeah.
If folks want to find out more of what you're doing these days, how can they find out? You give your website?
Well, they can go to my website. It's thecapitalcapitalgroup.com. CapitalCapitalGroup.com, and the first capital is OL, the second one's AL.
You're such a passionate guy.
And, I came in here on fire about this issue because I've been there and I've looked in the eyes of those children. And that, you know, when I flew back into this country after that trip to Africa where I was there, and I saw beautiful green and wonderful houses and amazing infrastructure, I thought to myself, I will never complain when the pizza's 10 minutes late again.
Mm.
We have it so good here.
We do. Mm.
If everybody could travel to a place like that, maybe we'd be a little nicer to each other, and maybe we'd be a little bit generous to folks who have nothing.
That will definitely, this situation will definitely bear watching, and that amongst other things. You know, it's funny, I probably would want to know, I didn't put it in the notes for our conversation, but, you know, you're bringing up the South China Sea and what's going on in Korea. We still have the Malaysian air flight that's missing. Mm-hmm. That's another firestorm waiting to happen as well with the families that are involved with that. What happened to that plane? Where is that plane?
Yeah.
And for God's sakes, to make a point, why does it have to be innocent people?
Right.
Why?
Yeah. One. We'll never know. Definitely we'll never know. Folks, we want to thank you for tuning in to Monday Night Talk. And Joe, I want to thank you for stopping in. Michael, once again.
Appreciate it. I love to keep coming back.
Yeah, we'll have you back in June.
Excellent.
And we'll see what the pulse is down in D.C.
Maybe I'll be a little less on fire in June and hopefully...
No, bring the fire.
I get annoyed about a lot of things I see in D.C. Wait till I get on my anti-corruption kick and the kickbacks and the scandals and the waste and the fraud and abuse of your hard-earned money that I've witnessed for the last 20 years of my life in that town.
Well, maybe we'll have to have that conversation when you're in next time. Or... You sound like you'd be a passionate guy when it comes to sports, too.
Absolutely.
With that, I say go Bruins. Of course, Bruins are going to be playing, dropping the puck shortly. Hopefully they can take Game 6 up in Montreal. That is another Monday Night Talk. Be sure to check out the podcast site. We are a little bit behind on the podcast site at this time, but we will, in the next week, try to get those all up to date. You just go to MondayNightTalk.podbean.com. Also available through iTunes. You just have to go into the iTunes store and search for Monday Night Talk. And don't forget, also go to our Facebook page and like it today. That's all the time that we have here. We're going to say good night. But remember, you're listening to 95.9 WATD. It's been another Monday Night Talk. Have a good evening.